This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Flunkies and Junkies, welcome back to this week's episode of Your Home for Everything, National Wrestling Alliance, the NWA Saturday Special. I am Scott Criscolo. We do this show every week by any means necessary. I know, cheesy joke, but fuck it. Joining me as always, the Doctor, Dr. G, George Urbelino, who joins us. By any means necessary.
That's right.
Whatever that means.
The pleasure is all yours.
Always good to talk to you, sir. We are correct. We successfully surmised that after last week's episode of Power Surge, that these next or not? I'm sorry. Last week was the Empower episode of Power. Power Surges week before, that these next 2 weeks would be the two halves of the By Any Means Necessary show that took place back on October 24th. And we were correct. So on this week's show, we will give you part one, which was this past Tuesday, the first half of the show. And had a couple of decent matches in terms of the talent, a lot of the big stars will be this coming Tuesday when we do the second half of the show. But we did have what I thought was a completely out of the blue, maybe, Doctor, maybe the best match in the history of the show this past week, because the main event of this past Tuesday show blew me away. Not surprised, because we like both guys, and we like one of the guys. And they stole the show, in my opinion. Not much going on. Well, obviously, the big news in wrestling, one of the bloodiest release days in the history of the World Wrestling Entertainment, 17 names, 17 were released. 17, which is definitely one of the largest cuts in history, including some that you thought would never get cut. Keith Lee, Mia Yim, his girlfriend, Ember Moon got cut. Karrion Kross and Scarlett Bordeaux. Nia Jax got cut, and some other names as well. I don't know. Some of them, like, one guy signed a deal like 2 weeks, I forgot which one, but one of the guys signed a deal like 2 weeks ago, and then he just got released.
Do you think that it's because they're not doing as many live shows? Or, you know, sometimes when you see things like this, I mean, I know there's been rumors about them selling. Usually when you get ready to sell, usually that's when layoffs happen. Trust me, I've been there.
Yeah. So, well, I mean,
I just can't see Vince doing it, though. I mean, unless they just blew him away with an offer that you just can't refuse, and you could set up your family for. I mean, I think his family set up anyway for generations, but I don't know.
My take on it is, how are they choosing who to cut? That's the weird part. Like, I'm a little perplexed on where.
I guess it's people they feel like that they're not using, or they don't feel like, you know, their writing team could do anything with. I don't know. It's the business is so different right now, and then the pandemic, and I don't know. But I mean, listen, I feel bad for these ladies and men, because there's not many places to go anymore. You know, look at Ring of Honor is kind of closing up. You know, NWA is very small. They don't have a lot of money to throw at any of these names. AEW could only take so much. I mean, they're not even a touring company. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's only so many hours of television. You know, they're not going to pick up everybody that WWE releases. And, you know, I think the independents are coming back, but it's not as strong as it was before the pandemic.
No.
Because a lot of people weren't able to survive. So we're getting to that period of time, like, I guess, what was it, like the early 90s, where there's really nowhere to go.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, based on what I'm reading from, like, Sean Ross Sapp and some other guys on Twitter that are kind of in the know on stuff. There were rumors. This is what he tweeted about an hour ago from Fightful.com. There were rumors within the industry that WWE would be cutting some talent in relation to vaccination status. That doesn't appear to be the case across the board, although it was cited as a reason for several of them. That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Now that you're looking at, you know, Aaron Rodgers, who pretty much lied to everybody unless the Packers knew ahead of time, that he wasn't vaccinated. But anyway, he cost his team because they're probably going to lose to the Chiefs on Sunday. Let us take a look. I'm trying to find. Let me go to the news and go through the official. And of course, you know, don't you hate technology?
So, do you think Vince McMahon is vaccinated?
No, I don't. I don't know though. Maybe he's too old. Maybe he's too old to be vaccinated. You can't vaccinate
that's
a cyborg.
The whole point. Oh.
You can't vaccinate a cyborg. So, all right. So here's the official list. All right. Here's the list. Karrion Kross, Scarlett Bordeaux. There are a couple. B-Fab, Brianna Brandy, Grand Metalik, Lince Dorado, Eva Marie, Keith Lee, Nia Yim, Nia Jax, Harry Smith, Bulldog's kid, who literally just signed like a month ago. Oney Lorcan, he's like a NXT stalwart. Frankie Monet, the former Taya Valkyrie. Ember Moon, Trey Baxter, Jesse Kamiya, Jeet Rama, Zeta Ramir, and Katrina Cortez. I think a lot of them were NXT. While most NXT wrestlers have 30-day non-competes, some as Lorcan had 90-day, and that's because he was with them for a long time. What's funny is Karrion Kross was only there for barely a year and a half. It's kind of crazy. I don't know. I don't think any of them.
I mean, it really sucks, some of these contracts that they sign. So we are telling you we're getting rid of you and you can't work somewhere for 30 days or, you know, whatever, depending on what that is, 60 days. But, I mean, wow. That's some tough contracts. So we're going to say goodbye to you, but you can't go make money. Until we say you can.
Well, you know what? A lot of them maybe need the 30 days off.
Now, I don't know what the release. Now, the release may pay them during that 30 days. I don't know that. So
that's entirely possible. There's got to be some kind of a deal. Like, that had to have been like a.
I mean, there's so much speculation going on what's happening. And I mean, I think the company's making money based on all their, you know.
Well, they just had their quarterly report, and they made like $256 billion or million or something.
Million.
They made a lot. They're not hurting. I don't know what it
but, Now, you know, the thing is, yeah, because they've had these existing contracts, but what a thing, you know, with the TV companies and all this money, but I guess they got to set themselves up for the future. I don't know. We could sit here and speculate. I have no idea. I mean, are they looking to sell? I mean, it does seem like Nick Khan is kind of running a lot of the day to day.
Yeah.
I mean, Vince is always the final say, but. And especially when it comes to talent, you know, he's more working on the talent side, so he doesn't have to deal with all the corporate side as much. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see.
It's very strange.
And again, you know, I could see like AEW maybe picking up some of the women that were released just because to help build their women's division. But I can't see like Keith Lee. Like Keith Lee, I don't think is a big enough name.
I think Nia Jax is going to go to Impact because they pretty much already have a Nia Jax type wrestler in AEW, Nyla Rose, and they barely use her. So I can't see Nia Jax going to AEW.
Eventually, like everybody says, you know, it's nice to get the money and go somewhere just like, you know, when people sign with WWE. But then when you're not being used, sometimes even the money does not always totally make the satisfaction. Like they want to be used. They want to do something. So it's a tough thing because there's really no money going out on the road right now.
No.
You know, as a touring company. And
you're right.
So really, well, that's basically how WCW, you know, what Eric Bischoff did. He took them off the road as much. He did, or they limited it, or he almost went to nothing where he went to just the Disney World stuff because the company would, you know, as soon as they, you know, the rubber hit the pavement, they were losing money.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to do that. And they thought he was crazy because remember, that's how wrestling was built on the TV shows, bringing people to the houses, you know, on the house shows.
Right.
There wasn't all these TV contracts and stuff like that. So, you know, so AEW is kind of doing it smart is why, you know, take it out on the road, right, you know, in the beginning and lose money. When if we get a TV contract and, you know, we can make money right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
WWE,
on TV. You know, is WWE really they're doing a few house shows here and there, right? They're not totally.
Nah, I would say they're pretty much totally focused on TV. I mean, they're obviously doing more. They have these like extra pay-per-views that. They're doing the pay-per-view schedule a little differently. Like, for instance, they're being smart in some aspects. Like, for instance, the next pay-per-view is Survivor Series, which is in a couple weeks in your backyard, our backyard, Doctor, at Barclays in Brooklyn, where you and I have been many times for pay-per-views. Then there's no pay-per-view in December, which is smart because December was always a dumb month for a pay-per-view, both live and for buying for two reasons. Number one, you know, you need to put your money towards
except for gifts. The NWA when they do it, it's fine.
Well, yeah, it's also cheaper though. And they're not doing pay-per-views. Let me rephrase that. You're actually right. WWE should not be doing pay-per-views or AEW in December. But when your pay-per-view is only $20, then you're not breaking the bank. But when you're so overexposed, the month of December was always kind of the black hole of talent month. And then again, WWE is doing that day one. They're doing the pay-per-view on New Year's Day, which is a Saturday. So probably smart.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how things play out over the next few months and see if any of these released wrestlers show up anywhere. But, you know, everybody can't think that AEW is going to be signing everybody. They have to watch what they're spending as well. I mean, yes, they're doing pretty well for a new company, but, you know, there's only so much time. What are you going to do with all this talent?
Yep. They got a lot of guys right now that they don't use a lot. They pay these indie guys, you know, hand to mouth. So they're not broke and they stick them on Dark and Elevation and all the YouTube shows. You know, they probably throw them a couple hundred bucks a shot to, you know, put food on the table. But eventually they're going to, you know, they've got to take care of themselves. I've said that all along. You know, everybody loves Tony Khan and everything, but AEW is not a charity. Eventually they're going to have to be
a business. Exactly. And his father's going to want to see a return on the investment. So
exactly.
I mean, listen, you just gotta, see and hope that the indie market gets hotter again. You know, maybe some of this talent may show up on NWA, maybe not as a regular, but, you know, every so often for big matches, Impact, you know, they'll get some work if they're talented enough.
Right.
But you can't expect the only big company in town to be signing everybody. They just can't do it. Because they're eventually going to get in a situation where they're going to have to do layoffs.
And listen, the Khan family has their own problems. His name's Urban Meyer. So the thing that makes money for Tony to run AEW is in big shit right now. So they get their own PR problems. But anyway,
sad thing is that's not even their main company. He did something. He invented something. He invented something in the automobile industry. I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
I can't either.
And now he's got tons of money.
So
he ain't hurt.
We'll talk more about this. Myself, Nate, and Steve will get more into it next week on the main event.
Anyway, yeah, let's get into our show.
Let's get into the good stuff. We don't like talking about layoffs and stuff. That's not fun, regardless of whether it's wrestling or anything else. All right. So let us go to Valor Hall. That's what it's called, Doctor. Valor Hall in Oak Grove, Kentucky. You happy to be out of the chase? You're like, finally, some different fucking building.
Yeah.
And the place is full.
And not now, a we, ton have of the, people, now we have the banquet hundred. Hall.
Yeah, now we got the banquet hall. But it was full. And it was loud. We had a good crowd. And yeah, I think that added, good, I feel like it added to the extra, to some extra energy of the matches. Your commentary team, Joe Galli, Austin Idol, and Velvet Sky. And you made a great point about Velvet Sky and how in the beginning she seemed a little kind of unsure of herself and her announcing was a little, she had nobody to bounce off of. She's a perfect foil for Austin Idol and back and forth. They were very entertaining. Sometimes they stepped over each other, but they were very entertaining going at each
other.
They
were. I enjoyed the commentary. He is hysterical, Austin.
He is hysterical.
He really is.
Always good thanks to my friend Josh Lopez for helping me with the notes. You can follow him on Twitter at Josh Lopez.
How's Josh these days?
He's good. He's good. He says hi. So we open with the Pope. Da Pope comes out, cuts a nice little promo. I really do think, Doctor, that he is going to be starting to be pushed towards the forefront. I think he is the guy that's eventually going to be the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. I definitely believe that. Anyway, he takes on in his in the opening match, Colby Carino, who is backed by the Fixers. The Fixers, of course, the Bruiser. I think his name is, and Jay Bradley, who seems to always come in and out of the NWA's life over the last 4 years. Look how he put on a little weight. They second Colby Carino to the ring because, you know, Colby Carino, little scrawny shit that he is, needs to have, you know, he's a good heel, so he needs to have guys to, back him up. Good, fun little match. I really feel like the Pope has not really been able to kind of stretch his oats over the past several weeks. So I thought this was a good match to kind of get himself warmed up again. And
he's so good
for Colby Carino. He's amazing on the stick. For Colby Carino, I thought this was a nice showcase match for him on camera. In the climax, Pope drops Carino with the draping neck breaker. He prepares for the Elijah Express. Referee gets distracted by Ligursky, who is the other guy in the Fixers with Bradley. Bradley slams Pope's head on the top rope. Carino connects with the Carino crash for a two count. Rush Freeman and Captain Yuma make their way down to the ring. They're a tag team, of course, in NWA. Carino goes for the Sunsetter, but Pope rolls him over and picks up the win. So the Pope gets the win by pinfall. We see all these tag teams coming out. Before we get to the next match, though, what are your thoughts on, what were your thoughts on the match? And what about Colby Carino's growth since he's been?
Yeah, you know, Colby could go. And, you know, this was a good match for the Pope. But you know what I liked? I liked the way they booked this match, because it didn't hurt Colby Carino. But you also couldn't have the Pope lose to Colby Carino. So he looked good by, you know, picking up the win. But I see Colby like in some kind of stable, heel stable.
Mm.
But he's the type of guy, as he matures, he's going to be the leader, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Of whatever group he's in.
Yeah, he's got the face for it.
He's just so cocky. I love it.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think I thought these two worked pretty well together. You know, again, this is a good showcasing for Colby. But, you know, he's got it in his blood, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, of course he does.
I don't even know if I could see Colby as a face. He's just a great
heel. I can't either. He's just a smug heel.
You just want to smack the shit out of him.
Yep, I agree.
That means he's doing his job.
Yep, he's like MJF. MJF's the same way. Awesome. So a nice win for the Pope, but a good opening match. So we have these two tag teams now on camera. Fuck it, ring the bell. So the Fixers, Ligursky and Jay Bradley, taking on Rush Freeman and Captain Yuma in our second match. Fun little sprint. You know, nothing earth shattering, pretty solid tag. The Fixers connect with the double brain buster to pick up the win. After the match, the Fixers say that there's not a problem they can't solve. There's not a person they can't fix anywhere, anytime, any place. And they're for hire. And then out of the blue, and this is the benefit, I don't want to say benefit, but because you don't want to see anything go down, but you know, we've already talked about the issues with Ring of Honor. Who comes out? The OGK, the tag team of Mike Bennett, who, of course, you know, had a cup of coffee with the NWA and, of course, had a tag team, a world title match with Nick Aldis back on that first episode of UWM Primetime Live. Great first episode. What happened after for the next 11 episodes, we still can't figure out. But and his tag team partner, former Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion Matt Taven, the OGK. So Price went nuts for that. I was very shocked to see that. It was very cool. But again, with ROH kind of on the ropes, as we've talked about, and if you want some extensive ROH talk, you and I are last week's episode of the Saturday special and last week's episode of the main event, we talked extensively about Ring of Honor. So I was stunned when I saw them doctor, but not surprised in the sense that, oh, okay, this makes sense. The, you know, Ring of Honor guys could use a little pub and some extra work. So fuck it. Let them come, particularly Mike Bennett, who helped out the NWA back in the fall, last fall, almost a year ago, actually. If you remember, doctor? God, it's been almost a year since that UWN Primetime Live
and it's crazy,
right? Almost a year. Isn't that bonkers? This was a great tag match, by the way. Great tag match. Obviously, Bennett and Taven are studs. I mean, both great wrestlers. Ligursky and Jay Bradley, both big hosses. So a fun back and forth. In the climax, Bennett drop kicks the left knee of Ligursky. Bennett with the rolling elbow for a two count. Bradley applies a waist lock. Taven super kicks Bradley. Double Irish whip. Taven leapfrogs over Bradley. And then Bennett super kicks him. Taven with a springboard enziguri. OGK clotheslines Bradley over the top rope. Another double super kick. Ligursky with a double clothesline. Bennett responds with another super kick. Taven nails Ligursky with a pump kick. Bennett ducks a clothesline from Ligursky. The OGK connects with their spear frog splash combo and picks up the win. So the OGK gets the win via pinfall. I don't think they're sticking around. The OGKs. I don't think they're sticking around. I think this was just a one shot for this show. I don't think I think there's plenty of tag teams in NWA right now. I don't think they're going to, because Ring of Honor, don't forget, is still going. They still do TV and they still have their final battle pay-per-view in December. So Ring of Honor is still going. Maybe this is something, maybe we see them in January, February in the NWA, perhaps. From this, maybe the NWA and ROH can kind of rekindle their romance, their business romance.
Yeah, but does it sound like that Ring of Honor is going out, or are they going to do something? I'm just a little confused.
Officially,
by that.
Let's put it this way: officially, they, after Final Battle, they are going to suspend operations till April, till WrestleMania weekend. They said that they will do Super Card of Honor WrestleMania weekend down in Dallas. A lot of us don't think so. But
yeah, because if you're letting your talent sign elsewhere, who the hell's going to be on the show?
They released everybody. As of January 1st, they will be releasing everybody. So what does that tell you? You know what I mean? So who knows? Anyway, the OGK gets the win. So we had some fun little tag action, two straight impromptu tag matches, and the crowd was pumped for it.
Yeah, the crowd was kind of hot. I liked it.
We had a full crowd. The problem we had, Doctor, was that inconsistency with the matches from the Chase, because we'd get some matches where the place would be full, and the pay-per-views were hot, both Empower and NWA 73. But then we had like a zillion matches that were, you know, tacked on to Powers over the last, you know, couple months. And sometimes the matches would have like, you know, nobody. You'd have like the fucking, you know, janitor. And then sometimes you'd have guys or people in the crowd. So I don't know. It's kind of all.
It was nice to have a crowd, so we're not going to complain.
Yeah, it's nice to have a crowd. It's nice to, you know, see some heat and some energy for matches. There was an ad for the store, and we usually bitch and moan, you know, that the NWA store is pretty much the same stuff all the time. But we did see, and I'm actually going to it now, if I could find the NWA store. Where the hell is it? Let's see. Oh, there it is. Because they do have some different stuff now. So I'm going to ProWrestlingTees.com. They have they have a Trevor Murdoch t-shirt. Merry Christmas, Sean Kidd.
I know who would love that shirt.
Merry Christmas, Sean Kidd. They do have a La Rebellion t-shirt. They do have a La Rebellion t-shirt. They have the black, they have a black t-shirt with the logo. They have the vintage black and blue, the ones that says 10 pounds of gold, World's Heavyweight Championship. They have the NWA Georgia logo. They have that legacy shirt back. They do have a cool shirt that has the women's belt and it says the Burke is Brick House. It's kind of cool. And then the stuff that was on there before, you can get the Empower and the NWA 73 posters and then t-shirts from those shows as well. So they got some decent, they have a few things on the Pro Wrestling Tees. They're slowly getting there. Anyway, next up, we have a match between Judas, our number one contender for the NWA National Championship, of course, currently held by Chris Adonis, taking on Sal Renaro. Well, I don't know. And it's actually for Judas's national title shot. But if Sal Renaro loses, he cannot challenge for the national title for 18 months. Very specific a stip there. You know where this is going.
They love stuff.
I mean, it was a fun little match. You know, the whole David versus Goliath thing, but in the grand scheme of things, there was no way Judas was losing this match. Renaro was trying to play cat and mouse and bob and weave and everything, but in the end, he just took a couple of big power bombs. Judas hits a spinning side slam and then the El Crucifixia to pick up the win. So Judas wins and Sal Renaro can't get a national title shot for 18 months. How about a
I
match
know you're
where
very
Renaro,
upset about that?
How about a match where if Sal Renaro loses, he never wrestles again? That would be even better. I'm sorry, I just don't get the gimmick. I don't get it. What is it? Los Angeles? Sal Angeles? What is it called? I don't know. It's weird names for his places or whatever. I don't know. Any event. Los Angeles?
Yeah, like, why don't you just fucking powerbomb him through the table?
Yeah, right, he now should have just been folded up. Judas was going to hit him again. I wish he did. I was hoping we'd get the James Storm run in. We didn't, but that's okay. Maybe he wrestles. Maybe he's on next week. So anyway, Judas gets
it all
the win.
The beer. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, damn luck. Plenty of beer. He drank all the bush. Yeah, the chase. Next up, little women's tag action. As a matter of fact, the NWA World Women's Tag Team titles are on the line. Our champions, the Hex, love them, Marty Bell and Allison Kay, taking on the team of our favorite, St. Louis's own, Tootie Lynn, and Dr. G's favorite wrestler, Thunder Kitty, complete with the socks that he used to wear. I love that gimmick. I fucking love Thunder Kitty. For those who don't know, her gimmick is she dresses like Mildred Burke or Moolah in the 30s or Mae Young or whatever. They say she's 110 years old because she wrestled in the 30s or whatever. That's the gimmick. I think it's absolutely hilarious. And she's actually not a bad wrestler. I think it's absolutely hilarious. She has like the full like bathing suit thing on. She's got these high white socks. It's absolutely tremendous. Fun little match. Again, I love the chemistry between Marty Bell and Allison Kay. And I love watching them because anytime I see them, they remind me of the NWA pre-pandemic. I always say that every time we talk about the Hex. So I always get it like a warm feeling that, back when the NWA was on fire before the pandemic, and I feel like they're still trying to catch up. And they'll get there.
I think all the companies are at this point.
Yeah. Following a snapmare takeover, Kitty applies a... This is in the climax. Kitty applies a body scissors hold. Kitty transitions into a front face lock. Lynn tags herself in. Lynn whips Bell across the ring, then hits the roundhouse kick for two. Bell decks Lynn with a jawbreaker. Lynn tags in Kitty. Kitty stops Bell in her tracks. Bell kicks Kitty in the face. Then she tags in Kay. Kay clotheslines Kitty. Kay scores the elbow knockdown. Kay nails Kitty with the pump kick. Kay goes for the AK-47. But Lynn gets in the way. Bell drops Lynn with the pump kick. Second forearm exchange. Then the Hex connects with the exclamation point, which is their finisher, which I like, and picks up the win. So the Hex retain their women's tag team titles with a pretty nice win. Then they cut a promo, which I don't know if they're heels or faces. I think they're faces. Where they said that they'll take you out anytime, anywhere, any place, and make your lives miserable. It's pretty much what they said. Kind of dig it. I think they were a good choice, Doctor, to be the inaugural.
Yeah, I like them as a tag champions. Team. I really do.
Mm.
Very underrated. You know, I think
yeah.
that people don't think of them, and even though they're champions, but I like the way they work together. Yeah, it's one of those things where one minute they seem like they're faces, one minute they seem like they're heels, but I think they'll develop their persona over time.
Mm. I agree. And I thought that Paola and my girl Genocide were going to win, but I think eventually they'll probably end up winning the tag titles down the line. Now, our main event, our mid-match main event, and I found that the energy in this match was odd based on who was in it, but I got to be honest, it might be, Doctor, one of my favorite NWA matches of all time, of the new NWA, since we've been, let's put it this way, let me rephrase it. I think it's one of the, if not the best match, TV match of the Lightning One production era of the NWA. In one corner, we have Scion, the masked man, who, of course, is the number one contender for the TV title. And in one of the one of the title matches that are set for Hard Times 2 on December 4th, Scion will take on Tyrus for the World Television Championship. He's taking on Mims, which, who I believe is actually a tried and true guy. Of course, that's where this took place, in the backyard of Crimson's promotion, Tried and True Wrestling. A warm-up match for Scion as he prepares for his match for with Tyrus on December 4th at Hard Times 2. I wasn't expecting much in this match. I thought it'd be a kind of a walk-around kind of thing. Scion, of course, was getting in Austin Idol's face. But I was absolutely flabbergasted at how much I absolutely love this match. It was a fun, hard-hitting story to tell. I feel like they definitely painted Scion as the more experienced worker. I don't know if he technically is, but they treated him as such. And Mims was the kind of, you know, more inexperienced young wrestler, but obviously thick as shit. And we got a great story to tell in the ring. Kickouts left and right. Scion trying so hard to get this, keep this guy down. And it was really funny, Doctor, because
it was almost as if it was for a championship. I agree. That's the way they booked this match. Like whoever was going to win was going to be the champ.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was crazy that Scion was getting booed at times. And you think to yourself, and he was kind of walking around the ring like he was the heel. I thought, that's why I don't get why he's the number one contender and why we're getting that match at Hard Times 2. I don't understand. Do we even care? Like, that's not a guy, like, I don't care if he beats Tyrus, you know?
Yeah, but you know what? If you look at this on paper, this match against Mims, like, we would have basically said the same. Like, who cares? Like, what does it mean? But they put on such a good match that you don't even think that anymore. And the fact that they booked it, like, again, whoever won this match was going to be a champion. I mean, they were really going at it. They had great chemistry.
Yeah, I was stunned. It was a fantastic match. Back and forth. Mims kicking out of stuff. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll read mostly my notes from the second half of the match. So Scion hits clubbing elbow smashes. He then applies a rear chin lock. Mims with elbows into the midsection. Scion scores the elbow knockdown. He puts the boots to Mims. Scion with the Northern Light suplex. Scion choking Mims with his boot. Then a back elbow smash. He repeatedly kicks Mims in the face. Then a knife edge chop. Kicks the right knee of Mims. Then goes back to the rear chin lock. Rams his boot across Mims' face. He whips Mims into the turnbuckles for two. Continues to target the back of Mims' neck. Then Scion with three short arm clotheslines. Scion ducks a clothesline back from Mims, then hits a belly-to-belly suplex. He applies a modified cross-arm breaker. Mims with a deadlift powerbomb. Like, he lifted him up cold. That was, what a moment. Scion had him in the cross-arm breaker, and Mims literally lifted up dead weight out of the move. I was very impressed. Very impressed.
I was too.
And then he dropped the powerbomb. Mims headbutts Scion, then a running elbow smash, then an inside-out lariat. Mims follows that with a side slam for two. Scion has Mims perched on the top turnbuckle, hits a superplex for two. Place went crazy on that. Repeatedly drives his elbow into Mims' chest. Scion goes back to the rear chin lock, but then Mims backs Scion into the turnbuckles. Scion hits the Death Valley driver. Still Mims kicks out a two after that. Mims with a leaping headbutt. Scion denies the brainbuster. He connects with the swinging net breaker and then puts on the mask of pain. And nice move by Scion here, because Mims is trying to crawl over to the bottom rope, but Scion kept stepping on Mims' hand to not let him stretch. And eventually Mims passed out. And the ref lifted up his arm three times. So Scion got the win. But I got to tell you, Doctor, the crowd won because the match was amazing. But Scion may have picked up the win, but I think we learned a lot more about Mims after this match. He is one tough fuck, I'll tell you now.
He is, and I'd love to see him, you know, get a shot at like a TV title or a national championship.
I agree. He shouldn't be. I don't think he should be considered like enhancement anymore. I think he needs to start getting pushed.
I agree.
You know,
this was a really good match. I mean, it was really, again, going into it, you're looking at a paper like, okay, this is whatever. But again, they built such drama in the match that you were like on your seat towards the end of it.
I was so impressed at how great that match was. And Scion may have got the win to kind of help keep him motivated and keep his momentum going towards the pay-per-view. But I got to be honest, I got more out of Mims losing than I did Scion winning. And eventually we're going to figure out, because I guess the big thing is Austin Idol. And after the match, Scion got back near the table and started, you know, he didn't say anything, but he was getting in Austin Idol's face, and Idol was jaw-jacking with him. Austin Idol kept saying that Scion's mask is going to come off.
A good ending where nobody looked bad in the end.
No, not at all. Absolutely not. I'm not saying Scion looked bad, although he was getting kind of booed, which was weird, but they booked the match that way. They booked Mims as the face, and it kind of is, but I don't know. Didn't matter to me. The match was amazing. It really was. For those that have Fight TV, if you haven't had a chance to, please watch this match. I have a feeling NWA is going to put it on the YouTube channel, because they'll edit matches from stuff, you know, like Power and stuff, and they'll stick them on the NWA YouTube page. I don't know if they have yet, but if you see it, watch it. You will be very impressed.
I agree. I think you should just take time to watch that one.
Yeah, you really should. Again, it motivates you. It's five. Look, everybody's got, you know, it's the holidays, got to, you know, save our pennies. But if you have the $5, put it to the monthly Power subscription. $5 for four shows a month. Not bad. And you're getting some good wrestling. You really are. You know, what the NWA lacks in the AEW or WWE, you know, bells and whistles, it more than makes up for in its ability to really entertain you with just good wrestling. And I'm not talking like New Japan, you know, match, promo, maybe match. Billy and Nick Aldis and that producing crew in back are really doing their best to really integrate some good creative groundswell for these wrestlers. And again, when you've got Mickey James and Jazz and Medusa backstage, that women's division, Dr. G, is just going to get better and better and better. You know?
I agree. And I have to say, nice way to start off the next few weeks, you know, splitting up the By Any Means Necessary show.
Yeah.
Some pretty good matches.
Yeah. And we're going to spend the rest of, obviously, November building up to the pay-per-view. So that's it. That ended the show. So there was your part one of By Any Means Necessary. The show actually opened, by the way, before we did the credits. I almost called right. Alex Davis interviewed Jack Stane, of course, Jax Dane.
Kyle Davis, the main you event.
At, what'd I say? Kyle Davis. Alex Davis. Kyle
yeah,
Davis.
You said Alex.
Who? Alex Davis. Is he a quarterback? He is, right? Yeah, he was. Yeah. No, that was Alex Smith.
You're getting all yourself all confused. That's why I stumbled.
I don't know. Maybe I have maybe I have the vid. Maybe I'll be released. Maybe I'll be a cost-cutting measure from the PTB Wrestling. No, I won't. But
maybe a coup's going to happen. You never know.
PTB Wrestling Network, run by James Grunberg. Okay. Good luck with that. No, I love you, Greeny. So there you go. There's part one. So this coming Tuesday, Doctor, we know we're going to have, I don't remember every match coming up, but we are going to have our steel cage match between Jax Dane and Crimson. The tag match, Tom Latimer and Chris Adonis taking on Nick Aldis and the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Trevor Murdoch. That'll be fun. And other matches as well. So that'll be coming up this Tuesday, part two of By Any Means Necessary. What were your thoughts overall here, though? Crowd was hot, good matches, and boy, that Scion.
Yeah, it was nice to be out of the Chase, even though I enjoyed the pay-per-views at the Chase, but it was nice to be out of there. Different type of crowd, at times very hot. Put some pretty good matches on to get us started, and that Scion Mims match was definitely a sleeper match for this year. Because I believe that you could say match of the year candidate for the NWA. I'm not saying all wrestling, but you enjoyed it. That I know you were popping.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was very impressed. Very impressed. I think Mims should be on the pay-per-view. We need to see Mims at Hard Times 2 in some capacity. We do. So that'll wrap it up. There's our show this week.
Wrap it up.
Hope you enjoyed it. You can follow me on Twitter at Scott C. Podfather. You can follow the doctor on Twitter at Dr. G. PTB. Follow the brand on Twitter at PTBN Wrestling. We had a nice week on the show, on the network. JR and I, the newest episode of the Place B podcast, we went back to our original Vintage Vault timeline. We did Backlash 2007 with our new format. Please check it out. It was a lot of fun. Jambalaya Jake Williams joined us. We had a ton of fun. Also, new episode of Row 1, Seat 1, Ben Zani. And new episode of Talkin' WCW, Jennifer Smith. And Tim Capel and Greg Phillips talked about the WCW career of Chris Jericho. We talked about some of his matches from WCW. So check that out. And since it is Saturday, it dropped yesterday. Newest episode of NWA Crock and Roll. You guys did part two of January 1986. And I'm curious your guys' thoughts, because I'm on one of my chrono watches. I'm in August of 86. So I'm well ahead of you guys, but that's why I'm gonna backtrack and listen to your 86 stuff down the line. But the 85 stuff was awesome. I'm curious your thoughts, Doctor, because I feel like the tone of Crockett definitely kind of changed throughout 86. Made 85 feel very old, if that makes any sense. Did you notice it through the first month of 86?
A little bit, but it evolved because a lot of these storylines happened in 85. And mm-hmm. They just seemed definitely seemed a little more edgier as time gone on with it and the interviews. And Arn, I'll tell you, when you listen to Arn's show, you really get a good perspective of the man. And he really just was phenomenal on the mic.
Yeah, he was.
He really was. And I probably didn't realize it at the time, but now when I go back and watch this stuff, it's like, wow.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
And I could see. It's just good stuff. I mean, that's all. Yeah.
Yep. It absolutely is. I agree. I'm looking forward to where Arn Anderson's going to go in the in our Place to Be Nation stretch project for this year. The top 100 greatest WCW/NWA superstars of all time.
I could see him in the top five.
Yeah, I can. Easily. Let's put it this way. I will be very disappointed if he's lower than 10. I'll be very disappointed if he's lower than 10, because I think that's just a crime. I think he'll be somewhere between 3 and 7 when all is said and done. 3 and 7. Hey, some may have him number 1. Perfectly fine. Dr. G and I know who our number 1 will be. But we've got others. Number 2, maybe. But there's a lot of guys. I think the one very polarizing guy, Doctor, in a lot of the nomination discussions I've seen, both on the Facebook page and on some chats, where is Drew Wardlaw's favorite wrestler of all time going to go? You know who I'm talking about. Flexi Lexi. Where is he going to go? Because you got to admit, Doctor, Lex Luger is probably one of the most polarizing superstars of all time. You either absolutely love him, you absolutely fucking hate him. You know?
Well, do you like him or not? He's definitely in the top 20. You can't deny some of his significance. He did have some good matches, and his character was pretty strong, mostly as a heel. But you know, he kind of went back and forth.
He still I think to this day he still has the longest United States Championship reign of all time. I think 600 something days between what, 89 and 90, or 88 and 90. I know the streak ended when he lost to Stan Hansen at Halloween Havoc 90. That I know. I don't remember how long it was before that, but anyway. Get your ballots in by New Year's Eve. And then, of course, throughout 2022, we'll talk about it. Doctor and I will do segments on here on our show. And we break down our top 100 like we did for the matches this past year. There are a lot of guys. William Regal, Steven Regal, I should say. Where will he go? Will Rick Rude be on the list? Ricky Steamboat. Sean will have him at, 106. But will Trevor Murdoch? No, I'm just kidding. Not Trevor Murdoch.
Sean's going to smack you in the mouth.
I love Sean. by the way, speaking of Sean Kidd, I don't know where he gets the time. He must have 25 hours in a day. Sean has a new podcast.
Get out.
Yep. Debuting soon here on the PTB Wrestling Network. Stay tuned for that. And
he does his research. It will
get
be
your
good.
Ballot in. But get your ballot in for your top 100 GNWA/WCW wrestlers of all time. Get it in by New Year's Eve. Then we'll do the tabulating, and on placebination.com, we will have the composite ballot, and then some of us will reveal our personal ballots. And of course, here on the Saturday special, Dr. G and I will do what we did last year. We'll go 10 at a time and break down our top 100. So there you go. All right, that'll do it for this week. Well, what do you have him at? Like the 50s? What?
Oh,
where's Steve Austin going to go? I know, right? How about, there's one to think about. Stunning Steve.
Yeah, he could be top 20,
we know where
top 30.
Stone Cold
but...
Steve would go in the WWE. Well, we know where he'd be on yours. But where would Stunning Steve be? Vader. One to think about. Bobby Eaton. You know? I don't know, Doctor. Very interesting.
This is very tough.
Got a lot of talking. A lot of talking. Which we do very well. Have a great weekend, everyone. Getting ready for Thanksgiving.
Enjoy.
And we will talk to you next week with part 2 of By Any Means Necessary. I'm Scott. He's the Doctor. Or not.
Yeah.